Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Our guest on Edgewise today is Michael Mitchell, president of Mitchell Innovation Plus Research, the market research and innovation consultancy based in Chicago and Dayton, Ohio. His clients are most of the Fortune 500 companies, and he's worked on some of the best-known products and brands in the world. He's a university professor, a prolific writer, and a speaker on the topic of innovation. Mike, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you, Dave. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's start by talking about your background and experience a little bit. You've been involved in innovation for quite a while.
I've been involved in and around innovation all my professional life, a little bit longer than 25 years now. I started out in advertising in Chicago with Leo Burnett and then moved to the client side in consumer packaged goods and new products, where I was also responsible for developing processes for bringing about new ideas and bringing those to the market. Through the course of that career, I developed a significant appreciation for innovation, what it can do for employee morale, for the direction of an organization, for the careers of individuals who are involved with successful innovation, and of course, ultimately, what it can do for the bottom line.
Right. So when you have innovations within a company, you can have a significant impact on the company itself.
Absolutely.
So why are companies having so many problems innovating today?
To begin with, it's not well understood. Innovation in practice is not something that our middle and senior level managers grew up with. Innovation is much more important now and getting much more focused than it was, say, over the last 20, 25 years. So these managers have come up in an organization where innovation wasn't the focus, or perhaps the importance of innovation wasn't as great as it is today. Mm-hmm. So there's confusion and a lack of understanding at that middle and senior management level about what is innovation, about how to set up processes, and how to create the culture where innovation thrives.
Right.
The other reason companies are having problems with innovation is that innovation, by its definition, is something new. And humans, and certainly organizations, tend to have a fear about something new, that it may disrupt our process, it may not go right, and all the negative impact that that can have.
Hmm.
There needs to be a difference between what is a healthy amount of fear and what is too much fear, and that too much fear is probably repressing innovation effort.
Now, is part of the problem that leaders really don't understand how to stimulate or trigger innovative thinking?
That's definitely part of the problem. Those leaders have not been trained in how to do that. One of the things that we strive to do through executive training is training those middle and senior level executives how you create a culture where innovation is organic and how you stimulate creative thinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Until recently, there really hasn't been an awful lot of interest in corporate culture, but it seems to have suddenly generated interest. What about how culture can stimulate innovative thinking?
Culture is the bedrock. Culture is the most important component in order to have systemic innovation in an organization. You have to get it right, and you have to continually work on building a culture of innovation. Culture is typically a blind side for middle to upper level management. Being removed from the rank and file as they are, they lose sight of what the culture is. And if you're not paying attention to the culture and creating one where innovation can thrive and live over the long term, all of your other efforts will be for naught.
Hmm. So how do you address that problem?
It really comes down to things such as fear of making mistakes. It's very difficult to create a culture where making intelligent mistakes, as we call them, mistakes that are made, but nevertheless the action was well thought out, well researched, but it just happened to be wrong, is actually a learning and positive experience. Unfortunately, in most cultures, any mistake is a detriment to your career, to your future, to your department. So there is that fear of making mistakes and not recognizing that intelligent mistakes are just part of the innovation process.
So what should managers do?
Middle and senior level managers should convey down that intelligent mistakes aren't a reason to be punished and aren't a reason certainly to freeze in your tracks in your innovation efforts.
All right. What else can senior management do to spur innovation?
They have to show that they are truly interested in innovation. They're not just putting those words into the annual report, but they mean what they say. And to do that, they have to be present.
Mm-hmm.
Guiding innovation efforts, obviously at an appropriate level, not micromanaging, encouraging innovation efforts, protecting people when they make those intelligent mistakes and recognizing that that's learning, they need to create a vision. Just as they create a vision for their company, they need to create a vision for innovation in their organization. What kinds of things are going to be innovative? Where they want the organization to go, they need to do that for the mission of innovation.
Okay, what about the political side of organizations? Does that hinder innovation?
Politics hinders a lot of positive things in organizations, and innovation is one of those. As it relates directly to a new idea, I've seen great ideas get killed for politics. The new idea that is not a favor of those in political power or those in higher positions gets killed unnecessarily, not because it's being viewed objectively, but because it's not the pet or a favor project of someone in a politically powerful position.
Right.
I've also seen bad ideas moving forward because they are preferred by someone higher up or someone in a politically strong position. And everyone's just moving forward with this bad idea because that person in political power believes it's a good idea, and no one has the courage to tell them otherwise.
The recession has certainly had a major impact on attention to innovation.
Right. We saw the flow of new products and therefore the flow of new ideas come to a screeching halt.
So what can companies do now to turn that trend around?
Number one, adjust our attitude on innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Get over the economic uncertainty of the past couple of years. Recognize once again that innovation is the lifeblood and we have to put a priority on it. Recognize all the positive it can do and forget about all the fear that we had about trying anything new over the past couple of years. That's how things will definitely improve. Number two, create a portfolio of ideas. And a portfolio of ideas works just like a financial portfolio. You have some low risk, low reward ideas, medium risk, medium reward ideas, high risk, high reward ideas.
Right.
Then you work on the ideas as your appetite allows, as your fear abates, as cash flow increases,
mm-hmm.
as is appropriate for your organization. But you have ideas all along the spectrum you can work on when it comes to innovation, whether you want to take a lower risk or you feel strong enough and confident enough to take a higher risk.
Mike, early on, innovation was left to people that had specific responsibility for innovation.
Mm-hmm.
But increasingly, we're recognizing that individuals are better at solving problems, people who are close to these problems.
Absolutely.
So how can companies involve more employees in innovation?
Innovation is the ultimate teamwork and should be everyone's business. It can be a major new product introduction, a minor improvement to an existing process, a tweak to an existing process or product. For example, in customer service, perhaps the way customer complaints are managed could be improved with just a slight improvement. And that would count as innovation.
Of course.
As an employee, I can come into work almost every day and spot something that could use a little bit of improvement. And if I work to convey what that improvement is and make that little improvement, I am taking part in innovation. So if you tell the organization that innovation comes in all shapes and sizes, then people don't get that sense that it's not my job because I can't come up with the big idea. They too can participate in innovation.
Exactly.
If those middle and senior level managers convey to the organization that innovation does not belong just to R&D, to the new product group, to the chief innovation officer, innovation belongs to all of us. That's a good way to get engagement because it's in our human nature to want to create things that are new, to want to improve things. It's in employees' nature to want to improve their day-to-day work. So if you open up innovation and say, we're taking any and all ideas into consideration, you will get that engagement. You'll get people realizing that they can participate. Innovation is not just the big idea. And that if they participate, they can actually improve their day-to-day work life, which all of us, of course, want to do.
All right. So how can leaders really prove that they're supportive of innovation?
They need to show that they are truly engaged in the concept of innovation. They aren't just talking about it. They themselves are willing to accept the risk that comes with developing innovative new ideas, that they will cover for those people who are really trying and making those intelligent mistakes, and that they're there as a coach and mentor to guide people. They need to set the vision for innovation. They need to create, craft, and oversee the development of an innovation plan to to make their vision for innovation for their organization come to life in black and white on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
An innovation plan looks like any other plan. It has objectives with quantitative and qualitative goals. It has strategies for reaching those goals, and it has tactics for achieving those strategies. They need to be involved with the management of the innovation process.
Sure.
Setting up the processes. How will we generate ideas? How will we manage those ideas through development? And how will we fund those ideas once it comes time to put them into the marketplace? And what is our tolerance? How long will we wait to see if that idea is really going to succeed?
Okay, so can you elaborate on that a little bit? Do you have any examples?
My own personal experience was with the chairman of an organization. I was working on a potentially breakthrough new product idea. I was a young guy, young in my career, and I was fairly nervous that if I failed, this would be an end to my career. I used to come in very early in the morning to do my part and work on that idea. About every 2 weeks, that CEO, who also came in early in the morning, would stop in my office and just for 2 or 3 minutes talk about the new idea, ask where it is in the process, what I'm thinking. He would never criticize. He was not giving me specific direction, but he showed his interest. And that gave me the faith that what I was doing was appreciated. If I didn't succeed, I felt protected. But most importantly, he showed me he was engaged. He showed interest and enthusiasm for the effort I was putting forth. He was a good leader. He knew that coaching, mentoring, demonstration of engagement, demonstration of interest, coming into the rank and file, did a lot to guide the people around him.
Mike, what's been your experience as far as leaders unconsciously doing wrong?
The big one is they don't demonstrate engagement. The employees see the word innovation on the website or in a annual report, or they hear it in a CEO speech, but they don't see the encouragement of innovation happening, and they don't see the engagement of those senior leaders in innovation to encourage those people to do what they know how to do, which is to create that innovation and bring it to life.
I think another thing you wrote about, Mike, was that they're slow to take action, sitting on a proposal for an idea for 2 months when the intention is to say yes to the project anyhow. And that's very discouraging to somebody who's a creative thinker.
That's definitely discouraging, and it goes back to training. Those people are perhaps sitting on that idea because they don't know what to do. They don't have the understanding of innovation, all of those training things that we talked about earlier, in order to confidently guide innovation efforts, encourage innovation efforts. Senior leaders are humans too, and we tend to put off what we don't understand. So they put off making a decision or getting constructive criticism and kill the motivation.
All right, so what does the innovation process really look like? Why don't you tell us about that?
There are 4 components of an innovation process. One is that plan that I spoke about earlier.
Right.
You have to have a plan with objectives, quantitative and qualitative, strategies and tactics to achieve that plan. So just like you have a financial plan or a marketing plan for an organization or product, you have to have the same for innovation. Written for all to see,
mm-hmm.
What's the framework in which I'm supposed to work on innovation? The second component is ideation, more formal than brainstorming, some type of formal idea generating process, whether it be ideation with consumers, with customers, with internal, and there are all different formats that you can use in order to create ideas. But you have to have a constant, steady, disciplined, regular effort at creating ideas. And it has to be ongoing. It can't be we did an ideation 2 years ago, and that's that. The third component is some type of feasibility check. After you create a lot of ideas, you have to become more focused. You can't pursue all of those ideas. So you need to create some kind of hurdle to determine whether or not those ideas can actually be done and if they meet any financial goals that you've set. And then the last, most important piece is you have to have a support plan. You have to have dollars set aside or some agreement about how you will support new ideas, because the success of a new idea relies on so much more than it just being a good idea. What I see far too often is that it's a great idea, but no one has decided or committed to what it's going to take to support the product or idea while it gets out into the marketplace.
Right. Now, we've also been mentioning training, the need for management training mm-hmm. from the mid-level all the way up to senior management. What kind of training are we talking about?
There are 2 types of training. One is ideation training for that middle to lower level, how to create ideas
uh-huh.
in a disciplined, organized, creative fashion in an ongoing way so that it's professionally done and there is capability internally to have that regular and ongoing ideation. The other type of training is leadership training, more at the middle and higher level. And that is about a lot of the things we've talked about. The importance of developing a plan and how to develop an innovation plan. The importance of having a process and how to develop a process. How to develop the right touch in the process. How to be a mentor and coach. And then lastly, most importantly, how to create that culture where innovation will be regular and ongoing and systemic inside an organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Mike, do you have any concluding thoughts you want to leave our audience with?
The most important thing is to make innovation a priority. Stop talking about it and get down to doing it.
Right.
Innovation is the lifeblood of an organization. It's the difference between organizations that merely survive and those that thrive. And I think everyone wants to be responsible for leading, and people want to be employed by an organization that thrives. If innovation is going to make the difference between surviving and thriving, then you got to make it a priority. Create that vision, create that plan.
We've been talking to Michael Mitchell, president of Mitchell Innovation Plus Research. Mike, thanks a lot for being with us on Edgewise today.
Well, thanks, Dave. My pleasure to be here.
Join the American Management Association group on LinkedIn to share insights with hundreds of your management peers and to discuss practices in the areas of organizational management and leadership. To find us, simply search for the group American Management Association from your LinkedIn account. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.